Our opening reading this morning is the beautiful 19th Psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse shows his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which comes forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and which rejoices as a strong man to run a race. Its going forth is from the end of the heavens, and its course is to their ends, and there is nothing hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the simple wise. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They are more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, thy servant is warned by them. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? O, make me pure from secret faults, and keep thy servant back from willful sins. Do not let them rule over me. Then I shall be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We'll sing hymn number 21. This is from the chorus book. Is that from the chorus book, number 21.
We'll sing it through twice.
Follow the book of Acts again, the life of the early Christian church. We're in chapter 9 this morning, beginning at verse 1. The reading will run through the first 22 verses. And Saul, still breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to Damascus to the synagogues, so that if he found any of the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you shall be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold me, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand upon him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call upon thy name. But the Lord said to him, Go. For this man is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before nations and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went and entered into the house. And putting his hands upon him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, who appeared to you in the way in which you came, has sent me to you in order that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he instantly saw again. And rising up, he was baptized, and when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul was certain days with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he who destroyed those who called upon his name in Jerusalem? And came here for that reason, that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. We'll sing hymn number 218 in the favorite hymns of praise. 218.
His wondrous love. Give here from heaven mercy sick, beholding my desire. In pity burst the clouds between and shows me he is there. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. When sorrow clouds o'ertake me and break upon my head, when life seems worse than useless and I wither dead, I take my grief to Jesus then, nor do I go in vain, for heaven's hope he gives that cheer, like sunshine after rain. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. Oh, I could sing forever of Jesus' love divine, of all his care and tenderness for his poor life of mine. His love is in and over all, and wind and waves obey. When Jesus whispers, peace be still, and rolls the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love.
I thought my daughter was going to be passing for us today. She had a poem that I gave a couple of weeks ago. Her voice was there. So, this song I'm going to sing today relates to the man who went to the pool to be healed, and nobody was there to help put him in. Also relates to Jesus and our life. It's called The Wild Jackal. Thank you.
sure all of us can relate to that song. Thank you very much. The gospel reading is reading through the Gospel of Matthew, and we're in chapter 10. And this morning we're going to read the first 15 verses of that chapter. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother; James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew the tax collector; James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname is Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Jesus sent forth these 12, commanding them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter into any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. You have received freely, freely give. Do not provide either gold or silver or brass in your purses, or a bag for the journey, or two coats or shoes or a staff. For the workman is worthy of his food. And into whatever city or town you shall enter, inquire who within it is worthy, and there abide until you go away from there. And when you come into a house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And whoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of that city or house, shake off the dust from your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." We'll sing now from the Favorite Hymns of Praise, hymn number 5.
Beautiful Savior, Lord.
Our sermon text for this morning is 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 2 through 6. We have pew Bibles here, and many of you brought your own, so please feel free to open your Bibles to this text, follow along, anything that will make it easier for you to understand the sermon. If you want to make notes, that's fine too. We'll read through the text. It's 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. A sudden confrontation between wicked King Ahab and the prophet of Israel. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Question. What was Ahab's response to this message? Answer. What difference does it make? Because this wasn't Elijah the Tishbite talking. Oh, it was, but it wasn't. Elijah was speaking the word of God. And when God speaks, it doesn't make any difference what reply a heathen king can make. And so the Holy Spirit doesn't even dignify the answer of Ahab by putting it in holy writ. Thy word is truth. One thing we can be sure about, though, it didn't set well with Ahab. And before very long, Elijah found himself on Ahab's hit list. Life suddenly became very dangerous for this prophet of God. And so the loving command, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Now there are times when a child of God won't back up one single inch. You stand and fight to the death if necessary. There are other times, however, that a child of God will leave. Run and hide, so to speak. The Holy Spirit and the Word will reveal to you when that is. Jesus did that. When he heard of what happened to John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 14. And the king sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. And what did Jesus do when he learned that Herod had cut off the head of John the Baptist? When Jesus heard of it, he departed from there by boat into a desert place apart. He left the jurisdiction of Herod so Herod couldn't touch him. Why did he do that? Was he afraid? Well, not at all. But his hour had not yet come. And you don't have to throw pearls before swine either. There are times when God hides his own people. Psalm 27 verse 5 tells us this, For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me up upon a rock. Or Psalm 31, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man, and thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Don't make the mistake of thinking that you are constantly under Satan's scrutiny every minute of every day. That's not true. There are times when God hides you and Satan can't find where you are. We're going to see this with Elijah later on. I mean, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. And the only way it's going to rain is if Elijah says so, and Ahab is going to tear the country upside down looking for it. But God has hidden him by the brook Cherith, and later in a widow's house. And Ahab can't find him. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack. So Elijah went, I'm in verse 5 now, and he did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Elijah here was putting his life in the hand of God, same way you and I do. In Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What a drastic change in lifestyle now for Elijah. And whereas before he was a prophet preaching every week, now he finds himself sitting out in the wilderness listening to the babbling of a brook. Question: where is Elijah going to find anything to eat out there? Answer: Elijah doesn't have to worry about that, because he has a father who knows what he needs and promises to provide everything he needs. In this case, with a rather drastic measure, it shall be that thou shalt drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And that happened. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from the water of the brook. Now, this probably was not a very pleasant experience for Elijah, to receive his food from ravens, because ravens were unclean birds. It's not going to last, however. It's only for a short time that he was fed by ravens. Pretty soon he's going to be fed by a godly widow, and then after that he's going to be fed by an angel. But I believe many of us can relate to being fed by ravens, the unclean birds. I wonder how many Christians in this country receive their paychecks from bosses who are heathen. And isn't this then God using unclean people to feed his own elect? This probably happens very, very often, maybe in your own life too. And yet we can all be traced back to God, no matter whose hand writes out the check. And no matter if the bread comes from a widow or from the ravens. The ravens were very faithful in carrying out God's command. Every morning and every evening they came and fed Elijah. And this isn't the only time in the Bible we have seen the control that God has over his creation. One of the favorite Bible stories for the children is that day that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and he was in there all night. Now, these lions were not drugged. They were not well fed. They were hungry. And we know this because later, when Daniel's enemies were thrown in, they didn't even reach the bottom of the pit before they were broken and devoured. But when the king shut Daniel in that lion's den, he said, "Your God whom you serve is able to preserve you." And he did. There were undoubtedly guardian angels there. And God told the lions to keep their mouths shut. And they did. Until the next day. Or do you remember the time when there was a question about the temple tax? Some people were offended because Jesus hadn't paid that. And they talked to Peter. And Peter talked to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Well, let's not offend these people." And then he told Peter, "You take a hook and go down to the sea and throw it in. And the first fish that comes up, you open its mouth and there will be a coin in there. You take the coin and go pay the temple tax." Now, how did that fish know how to do that? Perhaps some ship had sunk there hundreds of years ago and there was a treasure there. But this fish swam to the bottom of the sea, picked up the coin, swam up, bit on Peter's hook, was lugged in, opened his mouth, and there was the coin. You see how God controls his creation. Now, Jeremiah marveled at one thing. It's in Jeremiah chapter 8. "The stork in the heaven knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord." This was rather bewildering and perplexing to Jeremiah. God tells the storks to fly south and they fly south. And he tells the turtle doves what to do and the swallows, and they do it. They know what time of year it is. But my people can't figure it out. You know, God still controls his creation. And you and I are living in a world that is so filled with change. It's very, very unsettling. Until we realize that God is still in control. And some things change so little. I'm going to read to you one of my favorite pieces of scripture because it talks about a little turtle dove. And it talks about the coming of spring, which we're getting close to now. It's in Song of Solomon chapter 2, and it goes like this. "My beloved spoke and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." The voice of the turtle dove is heard in the land. You've got doves here in Beaver Dam, too. Most of them don't fly south. Most of them stay for the whole winter, but they don't sing during the winter time. They sing when God tells them to sing, and that's right during the beginning of springtime. And if you listen, you know, most people don't even hear them because it's a very soft, kind of plaintive sort of cry. But if you listen, you'll hear it. And if you keep a record of these things like I like to do, kind of a volume of nature sort of thing, and you write down the first day of the year that you hear the dove sing, and you do that for a number of years in a row, you're going to be surprised at how close it comes to the same day every single year. God tells these animals and these birds what to do, and they do it, and they're very regular. It's mankind that's the disobedient one. And little wonder that Scripture compares man to a stubborn donkey. It's not surprising that the ravens give Elijah something to eat every morning and every evening. This is not surprising at all. And all that while, he's down by the brook, alone all by himself. What do you think he was meditating upon out there? What was happening while he was by the brook? You know, there's a passage in 1 Corinthians 14. King James reads this way. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. What kind of voices is he talking about? Is he maybe talking about the voices that you and I hear in nature? These voices from the volume of nature which agree completely with the voices that you read in the Bible. Psalm 19 this morning pointed that out, talking first of all about the stars up in the heavens and what they say, and then what the Word of God says. And if we look at the voices of nature through the Bible, we can understand them. Because the same God who inspired the Bible also created the world. When Elijah was out there by the brook, and he saw the rocks that were out there in the wilderness, do you think that maybe he had some idea of how Jesus would end his Sermon on the Mount one day? Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And that rock is Christ. And finally, Ahab didn't find himself sitting out there in the wilderness, or Elijah didn't find himself there because Ahab was mad at him. Elijah was there because he was following the commands of God, and God put him there. And he was willing to pay the price for preaching it right, and he was building his house upon the rock, and it wasn't going to fall. When he looked around at the brook and saw the water, do you think that he related to the water of life and the words of Jesus later on? Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Maybe there were clouds in the sky now and then. And if there were, don't you think that Elijah thought about that mysterious cloud that led the children of Israel out of Egypt? And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And God still leads us. The pillar of cloud right now is His Word. The Lord is in His Word, just like He was in that pillar of the cloud. When Elijah saw the tree, do you think he remembered that one tree that's just described in Psalm 1? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his food in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And that tree is Jesus Christ, and it's you and me also if we believe in Him. And then at night, when he looked up into the sky, saw those stars and the constellations, and remember why the Creator put them there. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And the comfort of knowing that this season in his life was also controlled by God. And he has made everything beautiful in his time. And so Elijah sits out there by the brook Cherith. And the ravens come, and did you notice that one little word there? I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. That is the only place in the world that Elijah could have lived. God fed him there. And God will feed you where he tells you to go also. It'll be there. There was a triumph and a tragedy out there by that brook. The triumph belonged to Elijah, because he obeyed the word of God and he was richly blessed and he was hidden out there from Ahab, but he found Jesus Christ. And the Lord is like that treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man has found for joy thereof, he sells all that he has and he buys that field. Elijah did sell all that he had, put his own life on the line in order to have that treasure. And he had it. The tragedy is found in Ahab, who now is seeking too late, but he cannot find. The warning for you and me is simply this: seek the Lord while he may be found. For surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Amen. We'll pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you guide us by your Holy Spirit and the Word, and that you give us hearts that are eager to search your Word day and night, and to search for the treasure which you have hidden there. But also give us the faith and courage to follow your word, to go where you would have us go, and to do what you would have us do, being willing to gladly give up everything that we may have you, and relying upon your promise that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, why, all these other things will also be added unto us. We pray now the prayer that you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.